Rafa threw her packages on the table and started to stretch out for a nap, then saw the blinking light on the comm console.
A message from Ronnie and George.
Her heart pounded. She took a breath and tried to be calm.
Hi, Rafa. It's Ronnie. What are you doing here? Did your parents change their mind about the engagement? I'll call again later.
At the sound of Ronnie's voice, her vision dimmed for a moment, and her heart pounded. The message was almost over by the time her vision cleared, and the idiot hadn't left a reply code. Rage replaced whatever strong emotion had just swept her. She didn't stop to think about it. The comm console could capture the calling number and display its location. She looked at that, at the time the message had been left, and forgot about the nap. She was two blocks away when it occurred to her that this might not be a wise move. Perhaps Ronnie hadn't left a reply code because there were problems. Perhaps... She kept walking. Perhaps if she was quick enough, he would still be there. The booth he'd called from, on the corner of Osip and Dixa, contained a thin woman and three active preschoolers, clearly a triad. Rafa looked around, ignoring the crafts, the food booths, and spotted another cluster of comm booths on the far side of the market. And there he was, unharmed, angled away from her, talking. His free arm moved, gesturing, and she was suddenly angry enough to wring that handsome neck. She strode across the market, ignoring everything, until she was right behind him. She could hear nothing. The Guarnesi comm booths had enviable privacy shields, but he had not blanked the booth visually. Rafa moved around until she could see his face. She wanted to see his face very badly, especially when he caught sight of her. He turned paper white and grabbed at the booth rail. His lips shaped her name. Then he held up a hand. He glanced away briefly, as if something said to him required a change in attention, then ended the connection and shot out of the booth as if kicked.
Rafa! How did you... Rafa!
She had been prepared to give him a stony glare and a crisp demand for information, but his hug was more frantic than possessive, and it felt good. She felt her anger leak away, to be replaced by first relief, then a wave of pure physical passion. Her legs felt odd. The ground seemed very far away.
I was so worried. I was afraid you were in trouble. You'll never guess what I've seen.
He was looking past her now, scanning the crowd as if he expected someone.
Oh?
Where's George? We need to warn him. Did you know the ex-king was here? And the prince? Gerald, who was supposed to be dead, he's not. I saw him. I think the king is in league with his son to take over the government again.
The king is not in league with his son. Gerald is dead.
But I saw him, and he recognized me and took off.
That wasn't Gerald.
It was. I'm not blind, Ronnie. Don't think you can treat me like a little idiot.
Now he looked at her, but not with the look she wanted.
You're not blind, but that wasn't Gerald. Think, Rafa. What have you seen since you've been here?
Clones! That was Gerald's clone. Has the king come here to get another son, take over the government?
Not with them. Him! Oh, blast it! I've already screwed up. No, it's not the king, or not exactly. The clones are from before, when Gerald was still alive. They've doubled for him.
But that's
illegal. Illegal, yes. And they don't want to have anything to do with the Familias now. They want to get on with their lives, here in a place where clones are normal, where they can be full citizens.
You've seen. You've talked to them. Is that where you've been?
Rafa, I can't talk about it now. We have to get them some help before the king finds them. I was just talking to the Neurosciences Institute. They'll help get them new identities. But we have to help them get there without the king noticing. The Institute says he's made a pest of himself, and they suspect he's having the place watched.
Ronnie was scanning the crowd again. Rafa could feel the tension in his arm.
Let's go then. Take me to them.
I can't do that.
Why not? You don't think I'm going to let you walk back into trouble, do you? So that I can sit here and worry? Forget that.
She realized that she had clenched her hand on his arm, and a few people were glancing their way. She let go and turned away, furious again.
Rafa, I don't want to take chances.
And did I survive on the island just as well as you or not?
You did, but...
But you're afraid for me now. Who do you think will hurt me? Gerald's clones?
They're not quite stable.
No, but I presume they've had a good upbringing.
She gave him another long look, noticing the shadows under his eyes, the tight-drawn skin.
You look hungry. Who's been feeding you?
Well, they have. But they had to use our money, too. And it's been short.
Rafa took his hand again and led him into the market.
Well, then, that's my cue. I'll be the traditional lady, the loaf bringer. Buttered toast does more than music to soothe the savage beast.
She was aware that she had mixed several metaphors, but in the meantime, she led Ronnie from one booth to another, loading his arms with sacks of pastries, loaves of bread, a fat round cheese, and a sausage of indecent length and girth.
Let's see. Fruit.
She carried away a sack of bright gold, pebbly-skinned fruits and a basket of dark purple berries. Ronnie led her away to the far side of the market.
Along this street. You know you're risking a lot.
Not my sanity, though, and that was about to disappear along with you. This is much better. Besides, I have news about your original mission.
You do?
Yes, but I won't tell you until we're there, so hurry up.
Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.